opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
Good evening. This is Dr. Jennifer Daniels, and you are listening to Healing with Dr. Daniels on the Rainbow Soul channel at BlakeRadio.com. Please visit VitalityCapsules.com and get your free gift, non-antibiotic solutions to 10 common infections. That's VitalityCapsules.com. And, of course, I welcome your calls and questions, so please, if you have any questions, call in at 914-338-0695. Now, today's topic is hand sanitizers. I mean, what could be more dull? But actually, this is really a thrilling, thrilling topic. And the title today is Hand Sanitizers, Medical Marvel or Deadly Hoax. And believe it or not, people have actually died as a result of contaminated alcohol wipes, which is basically one form of hand sanitizer. So I'm going to talk today first of all, about how I think of these things. But then I'm also going to talk about what's a hand sanitizer, what the premise is that leads one to believe it might be effective, what I was actually taught in medical school, which is pretty shocking, and what the Association of Surgical Technicians has to say on this matter. These are fascinating people who do nothing but wipe and clean and sterilize skin to protect and to prevent skin infections and prepare people for surgery. So they are indeed the experts, and so we're going to see what they have to say about this as well. So how do I come up with these topics? Well, you know, I sort of always think about these things. For example, if you want to prevent a car accident, you wouldn't use hand sanitizer, right? Because it doesn't influence the factors that lead to a car accident. Like if I want to prevent a car accident, maybe I'd check my brake job or get the car maintained or wear seatbelts if I want to keep from minimize the effect of the car accident. Or another thing, if I want to prevent slipping on the ice, I wouldn't use hand sanitizers, no, because it doesn't influence the factors that cause falls on the ice. So maybe I'd get a different footwear or sprinkle rock salt ahead of me as I walk. So this came to mind when my husband and I sat down to lunch with two other couples we just met. Now, here we are in a foreign country, and I'm like, oh, wow, great, you know, I'll meet some English speakers and make some friends. And so I just come out of the ladies' room. I washed my hands. I was ready to sit down to eat lunch. And one of the husbands at the table whipped out his hand sanitizer, applied it, washed it on his, put it on his hands, and then offered hand sanitizer to everyone else at the table. And I thought, well, this is a very thoughtful thing for this man to do. However, my husband said, oh, those things are useless. My wife knows all about it. Jennifer, tell him. I said, oh, my God, this is no way to make friends. And so here I am groping for some polite way to explain to this person that a hand sanitizer might not be everything he thought it was. So I was stunned. So I explained what I'm about to tell you, and he sheepishly put away his hand sanitizer and his lady to his right, who happened to be a retired nurse. And he looked at her and he said, "What do you know about this?" And she said, "Yep, it's true." So, yes, it's true. So he said, "Why didn't anyone tell me?" So I told him, "Well, if you knew, you wouldn't be spending money on hand sanitizer, would you? So I'm going to tell you, so you'll be better able to protect your health and potentially escape public humiliation." And actually, by the way, had a happy ending. We did become pretty good friends with this couple, and we actually had lunch with them on another occasion. So it all worked out. So I'm going to talk about hand sanitizer. I'm going to go through it step by step. And the reason I'm going to do this is because there has been so much incredible propaganda and indoctrination that, you know, I've got to take you through this step by step. Otherwise, the conclusion would be just really too bizarre. Okay, so of course, you're listening to Healing with Dr. Daniels on the Rainbow Soul Channel at blakeradio.com. And please visit vitalitycapsules.com and get your free gift, non-antibiotic solutions to 10 common infections. And that's vitalitycapsules.com. Of course, we welcome your calls and questions, so please call in at 914-338-0695. Okay, so what's a hand sanitizer? Well, we're told that a hand sanitizer is a way to protect ourselves from some pretty gruesome hazards. You know, for example, 63,000 people every year in the United States are dying from infections with resistant bacteria. There's the E. coli, you know, that can be spread. And who knows, you might get that. You might get the wrong strain and, you know, die. And then, heaven forbid, the flu. And so, and modern lives are very busy with little opportunity, so we're told to wash our hands. And, of course, hand washing is the number one barrier to infection of any kind. So what are we told about hand sanitizers? Basically, we are told that hand sanitizers are effective, that they do not grow super bacteria and are easier on your skin than soap, and that you have to remove all visible dirt before you apply the hand sanitizer, and you got to put it all over your palms, the back of your hands, between your fingers and your wrists, and you do not rinse or wipe with a cloth after you apply the hand sanitizer. So these are just basic facts. I got this from the website from the hand sanitizer people, and this is what they say. So what are the assumptions here? If we believe that hand sanitizers are really effective, and if we believe that hand sanitizers are really going to protect us from these deadly bacteria and from dropping dead, then what does it assume? Well, it assumes that the bacterial or viral agents responsible for these deadly infections are on our hands. That's one assumption. The next assumption is that these organisms can harm us when they get into our mouth, and they get into our mouth from our hands. Another assumption, which is a very important assumption, is that hand sanitizers kill all of these organisms, right? If they didn't kill them all, they left some organisms on our hands that were still living, then they, of course, would not be effective. So the assumption is they kill all these bacteria. The next assumption is that hand sanitizers are safe. They're safe topically, and when you think about it, they have to be safe internally. Why? Because if you're going to rely on hand sanitizers, if you're using them quite a bit, they're getting absorbed into your skin, you're not rinsing your hands off, so when you eat, you're going to, you know, possibly get some in your mouth. Also, that hand sanitizers do not require the use of soap or water, and hand sanitizers do not need rinsing or wiping after application, and that they're effective when applied to unclean skin. That would be your hands. So you don't have to wash them first. You can apply them to your dirty hands. And, of course, hand sanitizers save lives. So these are things we have to believe, or have to be true, in order to believe that using hand sanitizers would make sense. So first, a basic recommendation. Apply hand sanitizers to your hands whenever you want, and especially before meals, to prevent the spread of contagious disease. And this is useful when soap and water are not available. So once applied, you have to allow your hands to dry, and then, and only then are you protected. So as long as your hand sanitizer is wet, you're not protected. Okay. So let's just take a look at some common knowledge. First common knowledge is that hand sanitizers are made from alcohol, in particular wood alcohol. And we also know that wood alcohol, in large amounts, for certain amounts is poisonous. Okay, so we have hand sanitizers made from wet alcohol. Now, also we know that hand sanitizers contain thickening agents. And so these thickening agents, we can guess, are not suitable for meal or for ingestion. So it must be an unsafe dose. It would be nice if we knew, but that's not really being revealed. Now, next thing you know from research on the matter is that alcohol is the active ingredient and the main ingredient in hand sanitizers. In other words, it's the only also disinfectant ingredient. It turns out you need 70% to 95% alcohol in order for the hand sanitizers to be effective. They work by denaturing protein, so if you have more than 95%, there's not enough water present for the alcohol to be effective. And if you have less than 70%, then it just doesn't work. Well, it turns out that a lot of hand sanitizers contain 40% alcohol, so a lot of them are not effective based on that particular criteria. However, a funny thing happened in the operating room in medical school. When I was operating in medical school, I watched this incredible ritual. This long stick with a big cotton ball at the tip, about 2 inches by 1 inch. And they would dip this in betadine. And they would touch the skin and they'd swab in circles and circles. It'd get wider and wider and wider. And then they'd dramatically throw the swab away. Then they get another swab and repeat this. And they dramatically throw the swab away. And of course, they wait for this to dry in between. And they do it 3 times, this brown betadine. And then, with a flourish, they pull out the alcohol swab or wipe, and they wipe away a little path in the center where the surgeon's going to cut. Now, why do they do this? Actually, I didn't know. So I said, oh, wow. That alcohol wipe must be very powerful because it's the last thing you apply and it must kill every last germ in the whole wide world. And so, of course, I said this in front of this senior doctor. He looked down his nose at me very, very condescending and said, alcohol wipes are virtually useless in protecting against bacteria. The only reason we use this alcohol wipe is to wipe off the betadine after it has disinfected the skin so that the skin won't be irritated. So betadine is very irritating, so you use this alcohol wipe to wipe off the betadine so the skin won't be infected, or irritated rather. And then the surgeon, with a flourish, raises the scalpel and slices. So, of course, I felt very ignorant, but I was very happy that, of course, I'd gone to medical school and I'd been enlightened. So, back then, this is the year of our Lord, 1979 to 83, we'll say it was 1980, it's pretty much understood that alcohol was not an adequate protection against infection of any sort. So if you're trying to prevent infections and save lives, alcohol was just not where it was at. Now, surgical preparation of the skin to reduce infection is left in the hands of the Association of Surgical Technologists. As I mentioned before, these people are totally focused on creating the cleanest skin possible, so that when surgery takes place, you absolutely minimize your chances of getting a wound infection. And by the way, wound infections can kill people. So this is very, very serious business. And so the Association of Surgical Technologists have standards. And they say in order for a disinfectant to be effective, it has to be fast-acting. Which alcohol is relatively fast-acting? You rub it on and it dries in 30 seconds. It has to be persistent. That means it has to continue to kill bacteria over time. Alcohol does not do this. So in other words, if you put alcohol on your hands as a disinfectant, in this case a hand sanitizer, and it dries, you are disinfected for about 10 to 15 seconds. That's not effective enough. Then it doesn't have a cumulative effect. So in other words, if I wipe your skin with alcohol wipe, some bacteria are going to be killed. If I go ahead and wipe your skin again with alcohol wipe, it doesn't kill any more bacteria than it killed the first time around. So it doesn't have a cumulative action. And then it has to be non-irritating. Alcohol is non-irritating. So alcohol fails to fulfill two of the criteria for an effective disinfectant. This is from the people who are the experts here, the Association of Surgical Technologists. And so what went wrong? Well, back in 2011, what happened was a bunch of alcohol wipes in hand, some were hand sanitizers, and some were just in packages or alcohol wipes, were produced. And they were contaminated. And what does contaminated mean? It means they contained living bacteria. The name of the bacteria was Bacillus cereus, yes. The abbreviation for that is B. cereus. And yes, lots of jokes are made with that name. So, this contaminated batch of alcohol wipes was produced. And some people used them for hand sanitizers. They were sold to the public. And some of them were used, unfortunately, in the hospital, in the operating room. So what happened? The Association of Surgical Technologists, who set standards, had this standard for disinfecting the skin, and this standard was followed. And what happened was, first, the patient has to wash with soap and water. That's important because all visible dirt has to be removed. Because a sanitizer of any type, whether it's betadine or whether it's alcohol, cannot disinfect a clump of dirt and bacteria. So if you have any visible dirt on your hands at all, the fact that you can see it means that on a microscopic level, it's actually several layers deep. And so this means that alcohol is not going to penetrate that. It'll sit on the outside, and the bacteria internal to that will not be disinfected. And when you eat or touch your hands to your mouth, you're going to be infecting yourself. All right. So this is a procedure that was followed. Just as I saw in medical school, betadine was applied to the skin, circular motion, the circle's getting wider and wider and wider, allowed to dry, which means it disinfected the skin. Then it's applied again in circles, circles, circles. Now, betadine is cumulative, so each time you apply it, more and more bacteria are killed. Okay. The second time, let it dry, straight. A third time, betadine's applied. Now we have what we believe to be sterile skin, the most sterile, that means devoid of living bacteria that we can possibly get. And the contaminated alcohol wipes filled with B. cereus, Bacillus cereus, were used to wipe that skin. Surgeon then whipped out his scalpel, cut the skin, the B. cereus entered the skin and killed several patients. And this eventually led to the recall of the alcohol-based surgical disinfectant. Meanwhile, though, a lot of this is out of the market that consumers are using to clean their hands. Now, what does it mean that you have alcohol solution with live bacteria living in it? It means that alcohol cannot possibly kill all the living bacteria. So this is a premise which is false. So it's not true that alcohol, or in this case hand sanitizers, kill all bacteria. So, now, another piece of information, if you take a look at this, is what's B. cereus and where does B. cereus come from and how do people get infected with it? Well, B. cereus is a cause of foodborne illness. So the B. cereus generally hangs out in the food. And so now you have hand wipes that don't protect against B. cereus, but the B. cereus is in the food. So here you are. You sanitized your hands, so you think. Take your fork, pick up some food with B. cereus on it, depending on where you're eating, who's serving your food, and you put it in your mouth. You now have B. cereus in your system, which causes vomiting and diarrhea. So it doesn't protect against B. cereus, on the one hand, because B. cereus generally is found as a food contaminant, on the second hand, because apparently B. cereus can survive alcohol wipes. Now, if we go back to our list of organisms that we're trying to prevent infections from, E. coli is one. We're told that E. coli comes from, you know, using the bathroom and not washing your hands completely. And obviously, if you're not able to wash your hands, then you want to get this E. coli off. But wait, wait, wait. The deadly E. coli infections where people have died from a special strain of E. coli have all been where the food was contaminated with E. coli, and none of those infections would have been or could have been prevented by hand washing. So in other words, a person had a hamburger, which was contaminated with this, maybe it wasn't completely cooked, and it was contaminated, and the person died. Another one is the deadly bacteria that we see in the hospitals, and sometimes outside the hospitals. Well, think about these deadly bacteria are actually caused by the administration of antibiotics, and so they arise inside your body when you take antibiotics, so washing your hands is not going to protect you from those infections. And they arise, again, in the hospital the same way. But another way you can get them is when farm animals are fed antibiotics, they end up on your plate laced with the deadly killer antibiotic-resistant bacteria. And again, if you wash your hands before eating these pieces of contaminated meat, you still will get just as ill. Okay, so it doesn't protect us from the killer bacteria, the E. coli, or the B. cereus. All right, let's see what else happens. We've got more information here. Oh, you are listening to Healing with Dr. Daniels on the Rainbow Soul Channel at BlakeRadio.com. And please visit VitalityCapsules.com and get your free gift, which is non-antibiotic solutions to 10 common infections. That is VitalityCapsules.com. Of course, I welcome your questions and calls, so please call in at 914-338-0695. And if you have questions, you can just do, I think it's star 1, and try that. Okay, so it's important to try and resolve these contradictions. So what really is true here? Well, first assumption is that bacterial viral infection agents are on our hands and are the only source of infections. We know this is false, absolutely false. So MRSA is in our foods and enters our mouth when we eat these contaminated foods. MRSA is also in our bodies as a result of our exposure to antibiotics. So if you're taking antibiotics for your ear infection, for a skin infection, for whatever reason, then it puts you at higher risk of developing MRSA. Another killer bacteria is C. difficile. C. difficile is exclusively caused by the administration of antibiotics. And so hand sanitation in terms of C. difficile, person-to-person contact, and outside the hospital setting, between two healthy people, healthy means you walk and you talk, person-to-person spread is not a form of spread. And so, again, the hand sanitizers can be expected to not really be of much help there. Then hand sanitizers kill all bacteria. We know this is false because of the recall situation where B. cereus and was living in the alcohol. And these were 70% alcohol solutions. You know, they were the correct solution. And so therefore we know that alcohol solution, properly formulated as in 70% to 95% for hand sanitizers, is actually ineffective. And hand sanitizers are do not require the use of soap and water. This is very interesting, except it's very, very subtle. Because you say hand sanitizers do not require the use of soap and water, as a layperson, what you think is, oh, I just can put the hand sanitizer on without wetting it. Well, that's true, but even the hand sanitizer instructions, if you read them, tells you you have to remove all visible dirt. Now, how do you remove visible dirt from your hands? Well, either you use water or you use soap and water. So hand sanitizers actually are not effective in the absence of water or water and soap. So you can expect your hand sanitizer actually, it's not going to be effective when you most need it, which is when you're away from a water source or soap source. And, of course, the final premise is that hand sanitizers save lives. We can see clearly that this is not the case. So, you're listening to Healing with Dr. Daniels on the Rainbow Soul Channel at BlakeRadio.com. And please visit VitalityCapsules.com and get your free gift, non-antibiotic solutions to 10 common infections. That is VitalityCapsules.com. Of course, I welcome your calls and questions. So please give a ring at 914-338-0695. So basically, what we've found out about the hand sanitizers, absolutely everything we have been told about hand sanitizers is simply not true. And the corollary, of course, to that is that the use of hand sanitizers is not a reasonable way to protect yourself from these infections. So let's just, there's two ways to look at this. One is, well, how are you going to get your hands clean when you have no convenient source of soap and water? That's one question. The next question is, how are you really going to protect yourself from these difficult different infections? Okay, let's take the first one because that's pretty easy. So let's say you're in the middle of nowhere, which I find myself in that situation a lot these days, and let's say you decide that you want to eat. Well, first of all, if you're at a restaurant in the middle of nowhere, I would say it's well worth the extra 10 to 30 steps it might take to go to the men's room or women's room and wash your hands. If they don't have soap in the bathroom, which a lot of times I live in the jungle, and so there are facilities in the jungle that don't have soap and water, but they most always have water. So you can rinse your hands and dry your hands. Even that is something that's beneficial. Now, if you are resourceful, you can obviously carry a piece of soap with you. But the soap only loosens the dirt and lifts it off. So you don't want to use antibacterial soap, because the purpose of the soap is to elevate the grime and dirt off of your hand. And so you wet your hands, apply the soap, lather it up, rub it around, and then rinse your hands off and dry your hands. In fact, if you actually have a bathroom within a reasonable distance, I would say 200 feet or so. So let's say you don't really have that. That's not available. Then many people carry a water bottle. I would say open your water bottle, sprinkle the water on your hands, rub your hands, and wipe your hands off. And you can carry a little washcloth, a dry washcloth, and Ziploc bag for that occasion. Let's say you really want to do it up. You want to really do a good job here. I would say carry two Ziploc bags. First Ziploc bag has soapy water with a cloth in it. The second Ziploc bag has water with a cloth in it. So you open the first Ziploc bag, take the cloth out, rub your hands in this cloth. It's going to release or lift up the grime. Put the cloth back in the bag, zip it closed, and then go to the second bag, take the cloth out, and basically rinse and wipe your hands off. Now, it turns out that the bag that has the soapy water in it can be reused, actually several times, three or four times. The bag with the cloth only cannot be reused, because that's the cloth you use to wipe the bacteria off your hands once the soap lifted them up. So if you reuse that one, obviously you're adding bacteria back to your hand. So depending on how long you're going to be away from home, you can give yourself maybe three Ziploc baggies of a damp cloth and one Ziploc baggie of the cloth that's in the soap and water. And it's actually a very simple solution. It could probably run you all of 10 cents to implement. Okay, and you're listening to Healing with Dr. Daniels on the Rainbow Flow channel at blakeradio.com. And our call number is 914-338-0695. And if you have questions, we'll answer them. Wait, we have a question here. Hello, 6367, you're on the air?
Yes. Hi, Dr. Daniels. I was wondering, if you're going to a restaurant, most restaurants have, like, lemons. How about squeezing some lemon juice on your hands? Because that usually kills a lot of bacteria, doesn't it?
The key word that you use is a lot. It's a lot. And a lot is really not enough. And, that's the problem there, is that you have a lot, and killing a lot of bacteria might not be enough to get the job done. And that's one thing. The other thing that's a problem is that it's bacterial resistance. And so the bacteria may be resistant or may not be sensitive to the lemon juice, depending on what you've got, you know, what you have on your skin at the time. And so over really decades, what's been found is that elevating the bacteria off the skin and rinsing them away is really the most effective method. And the commercials say, oh, drown a germ. No. You elevate the germ off the skin and rinse it down the drain. And in most, actually, I would even go so far as to say all cases, the most effective antibacterial strategy is to simply remove the bacterium from the body. That's the safest for the body and the most effective in terms of getting rid of infections. All right. Does that answer your question? Nope.
Using lemon juice is just as bad as using an antibacterial soap then.
I don't think this is bad, but about as ineffective. The only thing that's really helpful with lemon juice is the volume of liquid. And so it might loosen the dirt where you can wipe it off with your second cloth. And that's really that's the benefit there.
Okay. Thank you very much,
right.
Doctor.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. So the first thing, the first question then is, what to use instead of hand sanitizer? And so we've answered that question. Now, second piece is, if hand sanitizer is not effective in protecting you against the deadly E. coli in hamburger or the resistant bacteria MRSA, which is methicillin-resistant Staph aureus, or protecting you against C. difficile, then what really is a sensible strategy? Because why become one of the 63,000 people every year who die from these deadly bacteria, number one? And number two, 10 years ago, this many people weren't dying from these infections. In fact, 15 years ago, when I first became aware of this, 20 years ago, boy, am I getting old. 20 years ago when I first became aware of this, only 9,000 Americans a year died. It's still a number, a good number, but 9,000 were dying. Now it's up to 63,000. This is gaining momentum, and it's getting worse every year. So how do you protect yourself from these incredible deadly bacteria? The answer is, at the root of all of this is antibiotic use. Only with antibiotic use, only with using antibiotics, only with eating antibiotics either in the form of a pill or in the form of meat on your dinner plate, can you get these deadly infections? Or can you die of them, I guess is really the word. Now, so either you're going to get these antibiotics in the hospital intravenously, you're going to get them as an outpatient pill form, or you're going to get them on your dinner plate. And even in the hospital, you can be served deadly bacteria on your dinner plate. So what can you do? The number one thing you can do is, as much as it's within your power, refuse antibiotics. Someone says, you need antibiotics. Then you say, thank you, I appreciate that input. Is there anything else I can do? Is there something else that can be done about this? And even if they say, you've got to get antibiotics, say, well, how long will it take me to die if I don't get antibiotics? And you have to ask that question. Because antibiotics are deadly. We know they're deadly. These 63,000 people who die from resistant infections literally died from antibiotic use. I'm not going to call it abuse. I'm going to call it use, because this antibiotic use, most of it is, one, permitted by law, and two, recommended or compelled by the medical standard of care. So these are not excessive uses or in any way unlawful or unconventional uses. It's not some renegade doctor who's being incompetent and threatening the health of 63,000 patients. That's not at all what's happening. So you have to ask, how soon will I die if I refuse these antibiotics? And if you get an estimate that's anything longer than 3 days, then you've got time. I would say even if the estimate of death is less than 10 hours, then you've got time to turn it around. So number one, I can't stress this enough, is do not use antibiotics. And so to help you with that, you can visit vitalitycapsules.com and get your free gift. This is free, no charge. Non-antibiotic solutions to 10 common infections. So these solutions are things that are readily available in your kitchen pantry or at your local grocery store. You don't even need to go to a health food store to get this stuff. Very, very common things you can use that are phenomenally effective in terms of getting rid of infections that usually people or doctors would recommend antibiotics for. First is If an antibiotic is recommended, don't take it. Unless you believe in your heart that the reason you're taking this antibiotic is for something that's going to kill you very quickly. And so, okay, so you've done that first step, which is you refuse the antibiotic. All right. If you have an infection going on, the next step is to empty your colon. And you can empty your colon many, many ways. I'm personally not biased. I think any way you do it is fine. You can do a colonic. You can do an enema. You can swallow castor oil. You can drink a quart of prune juice. You can eat a cup of stewed prunes. Or, of course, you can visit vitalitycapsules.com and get some vitality capsules. But whatever you do, the immediate step is to clear your bowels. The next step is to drink water. And often, you're really, that's it. You don't even need to go further than that. I mean, sometimes you do, but generally, that's enough all by itself. And once you've done that, then you can drink increasing amounts of water. And for most people, that's really about as far as they need to go. There are many herbal antibiotics. My favorite is vitamin C. And the dose is anywhere from a teaspoon to a tablespoon, depending on your body's constitution. You just have to start with a teaspoon and kind of fiddle with that. Again, this information is not meant to diagnose, treat, or cure any disease. Of course, check with your healthcare practitioner before you do anything at all. So that handles the if you are offered antibiotics, what to do. But what if you're not offered antibiotics? What if you're just eating them anyway? What if the antibiotics are just laced in your food? What if the antibiotic is in the milk, is in the chicken, is in the eggs, the beef, the pork? What if it's in the food that you are eating and you're involuntarily, without your consent, consuming antibiotics? Well, there's a shocking thought. Well, if that's the case, and I would suggest to you it really is the case, then you have to, as they say, man up. You have to say, you know what, this is going on, I'm aware this is going on, and you have to say that certain things you're not going to eat. For example, pretty much that lets out eating at restaurants, because when you go to a restaurant, you have no control over if there's antibiotics in the meat or how much antibiotics there is in the meats and meat products. And then when you eat at home, so when you eat out, that would mean that you're not eating any dairy or meat products. And then when you're at home, you've got to procure your meat at a facility that would be a farm that doesn't use antibiotics at any point. It doesn't use antibiotics in the feed, and if they do have to administer antibiotics to an animal for an animal illness, that they do not sell that animal for human consumption. And that's really, it just has to be just that strict. Because even if you are just that strict, there's antibiotics in the tap water supply. There's all kinds of places where you're getting antibiotics without your consent, without your knowledge. So you at least need to do what it is you are able to do to avoid antibiotics. These 63,000 people who are dying every year of resistant infections are dying in large part from antibiotics they ate when they were not even aware they were getting antibiotics. So maybe they were at Thanksgiving dinner eating turkey, and the turkey had been given antibiotics, and they didn't know. So most of these deaths occur as a result of people receiving antibiotics without their knowledge, hidden in their food. Because the amount of antibiotics it takes to give you a deadly infection is cumulative. So in other words, it doesn't happen on the first dose with one dose. Uh-uh. You have antibiotics, you're eating antibiotics every single day, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. And then these resistant organisms start emerging. And even when they emerge, your immune system says, no, no, and, you know, cordons them off, sequesters them, puts them on the skin, dumps them on the poop. I mean, your immune system is working. And then as your immune system weakens, it just can't keep up. And then these resistant bacteria take over. Or if you're a teenage athlete, You're playing football, you get a cut on your skin, the bacteria go in through that cut, and there you go. You've got a resistant infection. So this is pretty much the way it happens. So you've got to resist antibiotics at pretty much every turn. I would even go so far as to recommend that people resume hunting game. So if you want to eat meat, you know, take up hunting as a hobby and hunt your own meat. You get a couple of deer a year and freeze them, and that's what you're going to eat. So that's the good, the bad, the ugly. That's the whole story on hand sanitizers. Absolutely exhaustive. Everything you would ever want to know about hand sanitizers, and even surgical sanitizing. So that's everything you need to know to keep yourself healthy and keep from getting those infections. And I'm going to see if there's any more questions. If there are not, then we will close. You're listening to, or you have been listening to, Healing with Dr. Daniels on the Rainbow Soul channel at blakeradio.com. And, of course, visit vitalitycapsules.com and get your free gift, non-antibiotic solutions to 10 common infections. That is vitalitycapsules.com. And, of course, your calls are always welcome. So stay tuned. Check out your emails. We'll send you a topic for next week's call when I get inspired. Okay. Well, thank you for listening. This is Dr. Daniels signing off.